Precious tritium is the fuel that makes this podcast go.
There's only 25 pounds of it on the whole planet.
With great power comes great responsibility.
So last week I came to you live from the blanket fort. And I'm actually coming to you live from my bedroom floor this time. So this is fucking killing me because I've been waiting for a wardrobe to be delivered now for like a couple of days.
Okay.
And it said it was going to be delivered tomorrow, but Amazon's like, yo, sorted you out, man. It's coming today. So also that works. So I sound come home. Wardrobe needs to be set up now. So I was like, oh yeah, fuck it. I'll break down the old wardrobe. And I mean, I went ham on this motherfucking thing, like sawdust flying everywhere when I was fucking destroyed it.
Yeah.
Right. And I opened up the box of the new wardrobe and it was the wrong fucking colour. So I'm literally surrounded by wardrobe parts just fucking all over my bedroom. Right. And I get to the last box and it turned out all the parts I was taking out were all up for the inside of the wardrobe. So all along, I'm opening this box up, for fuck's sake, they sent me the wrong fucking thing. Oh my fucking God. So I open up this second box and it's actually inside parts instead.
No, it's the right thing.
Yeah, it is the right thing.
Brad, I've got a Spider-Man link to make there. The contents of the scattered wardrobe across your floor are pretty much like the scattered contents of Norman Osborn's brain.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So
okay, that's a good segue.
This, of course, is Swinging Through Spider-Man, a Spider-Man podcast where two people who haven't read these things before read them through in chronological order. We're reading them through in the order they should be. So we're reading through The Amazing Spider-Man from the get-go. Then we jump across to the Spectacular Spider-Man magazine when it's relevant to do so. So we've already read one issue of the Spectacular Spider-Man magazine, and it was a bit odd. It was about politics. It was very adult. It was gothic. It was weird. Had a bit of eugenics in it, Brad.
Oh, yeah.
It was a whole thing, and it was such a diversion from the Amazing Spider-Man that we know and love. There was no characters. There was none of the storyline, really. In it. It was just a bit...
It kind of picked and choosed what it was going to carry over.
However, we were kindly reminded on Twitter to read the Spectacular Spider-Man magazine 2, and it comes as an interruption to the storyline of The Amazing Spider-Man, which is starting a new arc where we left off. It started a new arc there. This is happening around about the same time in the last five or so issues, I guess. It fits into the storyline. It is relevant, is what I'm saying.
Okay, sound. I'll get with that.
So all we really need to know is that Norman Osborn, a number of issues ago now, took a massive head trauma as the Green Goblin after he had found out Spider-Man's secret identity as Peter Parker. He suffered the head trauma, forgot he was a Green Goblin, forgot about Peter Parker, and went back to his normal life as best as he could. As we know, he's been having panic attacks, seizures, head pains, repressed memories, a lot of mental illness, really. That is kind of dragging him back to his former life. He's the Green Goblin. It's going to happen eventually. It's a ticking time bomb. I think in the last issue, we saw him actually get it together a bit.
Yeah, it snapped, didn't it? It was one of the... What was it? It was like a couple of panels towards the end of the comic. It turned out that, that Norman Osborn was actually in full Goblin gear inside of his factory. Inside of one of the Oscorp's factory.
So yeah, and whether he'd like fully grips with it again or what, it wasn't really. I mean, it was clear he's a Green Goblin again, but whether the extent of his knowledge was a bit in the air.
Hazy.
This goes up to clearing a lot of it up.
Like, okay.
Meanwhile, I'm not sure where the ending of it really lies, but I think as an additional piece to the canon, it's here for us to accept.
I mean, as far as we go for accepting canon, we play fast and loose.
So yeah, this is the Spectacular Spider-Man magazine too. I'm James, that's Brad, let's read it through. It's Stan Lee, John Romita on art, Jim Mooney assisting with the art, I guess, lettering by Sammy Rosen. I believe this is a late 60s comic. I didn't have the date and I'm not in the business of checking. But Brad, where we start off, mate, it's called The Goblin Lives. So it's pretty obvious where this is taking, where this is going.
Big double spread.
George Stacy is doing his thing of having boring ass lectures about Spider-Man over and over. Peter Parker's there. Norman Osborn's there. The gentry, basically. And Peter Parker. Like the gentry of New York City are there.
What the fuck's Peter doing there then?
Yeah, it's the gentry and Peter. I don't know.
Just because the continuity demands it.
Yeah, he's mates with George Stacy, isn't he? And George is going to go, if you want, just, you know, be a little hop on this. And he's going to say, Harry Osborn's there as well. No idea.
Just cause.
No idea why. But as we know, Harry Osborn has kind of been his dad's, I guess I would go to say, carer over the past, like, few issues or so.
I'd say that's not a stretch to say.
Yeah. Well, okay, on the screen, as George Stacy's showing off Spider-Man stuff, it flicks over to a slide where it's a Green Goblin whacking Spider-Man in the face. Norman Osborn has seizures when he sees Spider-Man, seizures when he thinks of the Green Goblin. So I have no idea what is going on in his head when he sees both of them together on a massive screen in front of him in the dark.
Like slide one, just instant pow in your face, right in a dark room.
Yeah, you don't want to make light of trigger warning because they are real things. People have PTSD triggers. Norman fucking Osborn's having one right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This did not come with a content warning. He fucking straight into that.
So I guess you're all wondering why I brought you in here today. And it's not to tell you all about the fine living of milk and beans. It's to show you people my fine photography skills. I mean, I brought Pete along because he's a nut when it comes to this kind of thing.
Norman Osborn's there like, oh, Harry, my son. Oh, no, that's Kingpin. Oh, Harry, my son. I think this is a panic attack.
It's just ripping.
I didn't believe in mental health things before, but therapy was the right thing. Oh, he's sweating.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Beads rolling down his forehead.
He is grasping his son's shoulders.
Like,
and the sweat is falling off his forehead. And this is a fully blooded, you know, red-blooded male in bits.
Falling apart.
Well, yeah, that sets Norman Osborn off. The past memories of the Green Goblin, all the head trauma, it's all there in front of him. And Peter Parker finally realises, yeah, he's a ticking time bomb. He knows my identity. It's coming back one day, whether it's now, 2 months, a year, it's fucking coming back because he's remembering. This panic attack that Norman Osborn thinks he's having is because his brain is putting those memories back in. It's forcing them back in into that timeline.
And it's a mixture between confusion and unbridled rage at the exact same time.
Well, if Osborn remembers his true self, he'll also recall that he knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man and he knows how to hurt Spider-Man. So Harry Osborn, he comforts his dad, but it's not helping because Norman Osborn at this point is too far gone.
Oh, yeah. He's just like, get me to the nearest toilet.
Well, the Green Goblin in the canon is believed to be dead. Everyone assumes he died in that fire caused by Spider-Man and the Green Goblin's fight, where the only people who emerged out of it were Norman Osborn and Spider-Man. And Norman Osborn, no one's linking that him to the Green Goblin. So everyone assumes the Green Goblin died in that fire. And so that's why that's additional reason for fucking Norman Osborn to be having a panic attack, because someone who is dead is haunting him. Someone who is apparently dead is haunting him.
I mean, well, yeah, I could imagine this would have been like fairly sort of groundbreaking, because like we've always said that Spider-Man is a hero of the times. You know, a lot of like modern issues get brought up in these sort of things. And the other thing is obviously NAMM's happening at the same time as this, isn't it? like where these comics are released. So you're going to have a lot of vets coming back off tour, suffering PTSD, you know. And this is one of those kind of topics. I mean, didn't Stan Lee even serve a tour?
I think he did. I'm not sure if it was in Nam, but he may have been involved in World War II or some of the skirmishes that come after that. I'm not too clued up on that. You sprung that on me, Brad.
Yeah, well, it's quite a topical thing, and you know, I think it's quite interesting to see. I mean, the whole reason I'm gonna be doing this is to one, really enjoy the history of Spider-Man, and to two, look at
fuck it up.
Old Spider-Man comics through a modern day lens.
For sure. I think you can clearly, this is clearly a massive PTSD trigger.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of Norman Osborn. And in real life, it's not funny. For Norman Osborn, it's fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, those waves.
Well, yeah, he is also, his secret identity is of an anarchist terrorist known as a Green Goblin who really does enjoy collateral damage.
Let's not forget the first time he appeared on screen, he had a rocket broomstick. Really sold it.
Yes. He's all about the danger, and he's all about being pretty psychotic and dangerous in the first place. The slides continue, and Norman Osborn isn't getting better. George Stacy really hasn't cottoned on to the fact that it's really destroying someone in his audience, these photos of the Green Goblin. And they get, it's like the first one is just him and Spider-Man. The second one is the Green Goblin. The third one that causes Norman Osborn's absolute collapse holding his heart is a full-blown floor-to-ceiling image of the Green Goblin's face. He's gone. Like, he stands up, he's like, oh, my head. Oh, he's just like screaming, and George stays, he keeps flicking through them.
I'm sorry, what was that, Mr. Osborn? You'd like me to go back? Well, I'll just go back.
Is my head on fire?
Just flicking between the two really quickly. It's just like,
yeah.
Well, if you actually press the front and back one real quickly, it kind of looks like Green Goblin's doing a dance.
Norman Osborn's feeling his heart like under his shirt, and George Stacy thinks he's doing that thing where, you know, he's pretending to make the heartbeat from his shirt. He's like, oh, he loves Green Goblin. Whoa, can't get enough of him, can you? Can you, Norman? And Norman Osborn is really just going.
See, I could just imagine George Stacy sitting there just going, this guy gets it. This guy gets it.
Well, it's led to, the lecture is paused because Norman Osborn drops to the floor in a crumpled heap as Harry Osborn screams and the room calls for a doctor. There's a short pause. Norman Osborn's taken away. And George Stacy and J. Jonah Jameson are discussing what has happened to their friend. George Stacy, of course, takes the implication that he needs serious psychiatric help because something's going on. But Jameson, of course, a red-blooded American, he says, oh, he's just been working too hard. Balderdash, he needs a vacation. And George Stacy says, he probably needs to talk to someone. Talking helps, you know. And Jameson just pretty much tells him to shut the fuck up. You'll never, ever get me to a shrink.
Like, George Stacy, a man who was captain of the police force, probably seen many officers who've been in shootouts and the like, suffering with these kind of mental illnesses. And, you know, quite rightly advising for people to go talk these things through, to work through their struggles with, you know, professional help. Meanwhile, JJ, who himself is suffering with mental issues.
Yes.
It's just...
Without a doubt, Brad, without a doubt, he needs to fucking speak to someone.
Just literally chewing on his cigar, his blood pressure. Honestly, it surprises he's still got, like, toenails on his body and his blood pressure's not just popping them off. Like, he looks like a man that would literally... He's got so much blood pressure. He's got so much anger in his body. I reckon if he farted, it would steam like a kettle.
Boil his insides.
That's what I'm saying.
You can just imagine him speaking to a doctor about, well, a shrink, as he calls it, about, you know, how his blood pressure is affecting his body. Like,
Oh, Doctor. Oh, I'm so angry. Oh, when I shit, it's like a piss.
It's like a number one and a number two at the same time.
There's the poo jokes. They've already come out in a serious issue, Brad. They've already come out.
We've got to get the lowbrow out. I mean, whilst I'm actually looking at these couple of panels of Norman Osborn having his episode, they're actually pretty fucking grim. Like, the artwork on each and every single character's face is horrifying. So horrific. Like, each one of them is, like, piercing eyes. Other than Peter. Peter's just sort of like, eh.
Yeah, when Norman Osborn goes to have his kind of heart attack moment, and he's dropping and everyone's grabbing him, and he's got that letter in it, it's like, oh! You could rephrase that. You could kind of rejig that, and it's the start of the twist. It's like, oh, that's interesting. And he's doing the dance as well. I would roar in laughter if the next panel was him throwing back his head. Just it's so good.
Just watching him shaking that leg in the air. Oh God!
Let's twist again.
Right, any more we're going to get shut down for copyright.
Well, Peter Parker, after all that, is just kind of concerned about himself. Harry Osborn, the son of Norman Osborn, is in a bit of a state. You know, his dad's been sedated, but Peter Parker has genuine worries here that aren't just about things like health. It's the fact that Norman Osborn quite literally is a weapon of mass destruction in terms of Peter's personal life.
Well, it's a weapon of mass destruction in terms of
his own blood pressure, really, because that is going to pop.
Peter? I mean, at the end of the day, like, the nearest and dearest to Peter at the moment, right, is Gwen Stacy, Harry Osborn, Aunt May, Mary Jane, and so Flash. And if the Green Goblin does surface again, there's only one person on that list that he wouldn't touch, and that's Harrow. So, when it comes to Goblin, and we know that he's got no bounds, we know.
Are you sure he wouldn't touch him? Are you sure? I just want to say, before we get into the next panels, are you sure you want to say that?
Well, I would have thought so.
Well, you would be wrong, because we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But anyway, in the aftermath of Norman Osborn's episode, the lecture carries on. They, you know, they get through it. You know, it's professional. They have to get through the lecture. Jameson and George Stacy go back to the room.
Hey, fellas, you can't leave just yet. I haven't even got to my holiday snaps yet.
Well, Harry is in a state. Pete asks, you know, do you want to, you know, if you need anything, just shout. And Harry Osborn is just like really sad, leaning up against the door frame saying, oh yeah, you go back to the lecture, Peter. I'll stay here just in case my dad needs me, you know, because he had an episode again. Oh, my dad.
You just hear like Norman Osborn's voice come around the corner like, I fucking need you.
Well, Pete goes home, and of course, all he's doing is thinking about himself, because the Green Goblin, it's that same thing we've been going on about all episode. He knows who he is. He's going to come back for him. The old fears are there. Because the worst thing for Peter Parker is his secret identity leaking, and the only person who can really do that is the Green Goblin.
I mean, and let's not forget that, like, the last time that the Goblin had him, he had massive balls. Like, it's one of my favorite stories that we've covered thus far, because of just the sheer, oh man, just the sheer grit of the whole entire episode. Because if you remember correctly, Goblin found out Peter's identity with the help of his trusty shotgun Mike. Harry.
Oh, Peter was me. On. I thought you forgot about me. I'm always in a pocket.
No. I'm pretty sure that shotgun Mike's dead. Because think about it. Who's been feeding him in the Goblin pouch all this time?
Just sat on him. Just Norman Osborn sat on him.
Just sat on him.
You don't put me in the back pocket, Norman.
Oh no. his eyes just popping out of his skull like two-piece of bubble wrap.
What's that, like, little toy you can squeeze? It's always go fuck tonight. That rubber thing.
Yes, I know what you're on about. But yeah, so last time
we got him, Shotgun Mike is dead because either Norman Osborn sat on him, he didn't get a fit, or someone's fucking dog found him.
Come on, man, I'm not a chew toy! I'm not a chew toy!
Or like this is just his microphone, his audio abilities are just broadcasting into like emptiness. No one's listening.
He's in the Phantom Realm, mate.
He's dead. He's gone. Like, that's the last mention of him on this. He's gone, Brad. He's fucking dead.
R.I.P. Shotgun Mike.
Yeah, the Green Goblin with the gadget, the Shotgun Mike. He tracked Peter Parker to his house, and the only reason Aunt May didn't see Peter Parker like dueling with the Green Goblin is because of just the smoke.
So much smoke.
That's it. That's it's pure so, dumb luck.
Oh, proper. So like, Goblin picked Peter up, took him back to his hideout, basically cuffed Peter to a chair and said, "Right, I'm a monologue at ya and tell you everything that I know, tell you how I did it, tell you who I am, tell you all my gadgets, tell you everything.
Tell you my internet banking passwords."
You see, Peter, I've actually just got a new Google Home. You can ask it anything. It'll tell you exactly what you what you need to know about me. Even my shopping list, extra large condoms. Yeah, that's me. Anyway, where was we?
You see, Peter, I've got this new Harry. He plugged the Spotify into the doohickey, and it does play the Grateful Dead whenever I ask it to. Fucking.
Could you just imagine Goblin flying around listening to Pink Floyd?
That's exactly what he does. Puts that prog rock in. Fucking. He's stinking of that mahogany flavor ale. Nice. Reeking of it.
Don't like, sound too bad, to be fair.
He smells, and I bet if you were to kiss him, his tongue would taste like just that stale pub table.
Oh man, like an ashtray.
It has been that has marinated in years and years of elbow pads and fucking ale spills.
So off on a tangent again. He actually told Peter all of this whilst tied to a chair because he knew that Peter was going to get out of the chair and said, because the thing is, I want to fight you as an equal. I need to know who's going to win. And Peter only got out of it by the skin of his teeth. By the skin of his teeth. So imagine knowing how powerful a foe the Goblin is and thinking that is, you know, and the other thing is like, is your fucking, is your mate's dad, which makes it even worse. He's funding your house. Well, your apartment.
Mm. So,
oh, there's just so much. And he knows that Goblin has no limits. There's just literally none. So it is a proper, it's a gritty one.
And you've got to remember that Spider-Man hasn't really ever beat the Green Goblin. Like, this was pure accident. The Green Goblin underestimated him. And then Spider-Man drop-kicked him into a machine and it just so happened to blow up in his face. And he did drag Norman Osborn away and he's safe. But Norman Osborn still has memories that he's the Green Goblin. So he's not really won.
Mm. How are you supposed to go on with your life knowing that such a threat like that can pop up at any minute?
Well, that's exactly what's been happening in the last kind of six pages of his monologue going through what's happened is just how scared he is. Did he really beat him because life's been bad for him ever since? Because he's just been worried that the one guy who knows his secret identity is so powerful and could one day return to his kind of anarchist terrorist roots. Just fucks you up.
I mean, and here I was just worrying what I was going to have for tea tonight. Well, here I was worrying about the inside of my wardrobe.
Well, Brad, it's about to get a whole lot worse for Peter Parker. He's worrying more so about Aunt May because Norman Osborn doesn't even have to hurt anyone. All he has to say is to Aunt May, your son is your adopted son. Your nephew, Peter, is Spider-Man and should die.
Should just instantly die. Ticker would go.
Yeah, exactly. But in his bed, Norman Osborn stirs from a disturbing dream. He realizes that the headache's going because he's accepting the truth, and he wakes up sweating, screaming, "The Green Goblin never died. I am the Goblin."
Oh, there it is.
There it is. And that is stellar. That's a panel.
That is a panel.
So he wakes up from bed, and that, like, the spirit of the Green Goblin, like, kind of shoots from him.
Oh, mate, it's fucking horrendous.
What you've got to remember, right, is that Harry Osborn's at his best side. Right. Okay. And it's never explicitly said in the comic, but he's close by. So all you got to imagine is, like, his dad wakes up and he's like, "Oh, the Green Goblin isn't fucking dead. I am him. And he's just like, "I'll just go back to bed, Dad."
Because by the looks of things, Harry's actually on the other side of the ward. So, like, but the thing is Norman's like, literally, like, all you'd hear is the sheets ripple off. And then just, like, top of his lungs. Bearing in mind, he's only about 10 metres away, man. It's not like you wouldn't hear him. So, and then, like,
I am the Goblin!
And then he just bowls out of the room, pushes Harry off of his chair. I love the fact that
you forgot a key issue here. He woke up so pissed off, put his suit on, put his shoes on.
It's three-piece suit, by the way.
Then he breaks the door, runs out, puts his hand on the doctor and his son, saying, "No one's fucking stopping me." Out the door, he's gone.
The doctor's there checking the medical records. So, who gave this fucker morphine?
Well, no, the doctor's actually just going for it, whatever it was, it affected his fucking brain. He's a madman.
I am a professional doctor here. I went to medical school. It's definitely affected his brain.
You have to be a crazy man to put your hands on a doctor like me. Harry Osborn on his knees saying, "Oh, he's so strong. My dad is so strong."
To be honest with you, I kind of find it quite ironic that Harry's like, "Oh, my dad's strong because he pushed me over," and I'm fairly certain a Girl Scout could do it.
Yes, Harry Osborn got bodied, man, by his own dad.
Just literally backflipped off of a chair.
Norman Osborn's down the street now, put his coat on, gone. The guy is sprinting in his loafers. You can just imagine him proper flat-footing it down the streets.
those leathery slaps on each step.
But if this really happened, right, he wouldn't be in his suit and blazer. He'd be in the scrubs and his arse would be hanging out.
I 100% would have preferred that. That would have made for better content, because it would have meant that he got out quicker than getting into his three-piece suit, which, by the way, he also tied his tie.
Imagine your naked strongman dad putting his hands on you. Right, pushing you to the floor, and the last thing you see is his heels and his ass sprinting out the door as he screams to himself, "I'm the Green Goblin." It's like Nicolas Cage. "I'm a vampire. I'm a vampire."
Oh, God.
Fucking sprinting down the street. You can just imagine New York City, fucking 1 o'clock in the morning. People are going home. It's a quiet Wednesday evening, right? It's people walking out of the cinema, going home. There's a hustle and bustle, getting a takeaway. It's not like a drunken Friday night. It's a quiet one. Fucking rain pissing it down. All you've got is this mad, big, broad, angry, naked dude sprinting down the street. And I know he's in business clothes, but now he's naked. Sprinting down the street going, "I'm the Green Goblin.
He's in business clothes because he means business.
You just got to imagine people just go, you know, having a nice Wednesday evening, you know, go to the diner, just, you know.
This is also, you know what, you know, credit where credit's due. This is New York. That is a regular occurrence. There's a geezer running the opposite way down the same street, shouting, "He's the Green Goblin."
Just on the other side of the street, just a completely different person. Jeez Louise, there's always something in this town. Isn't that as the game, Spider-Man? Yes. Like, yeah,
You know what? You know what it is? It's Lego Star Wars. I'm fairly certain. No, not Lego Star Wars. Lego Super Marvel Superheroes.
Yeah, yeah,
that one.
It's just a couple on this at this diner, and you just see Norman Osborn full on gunning it down the street, like pumping arms like goddamn Robocop.
Because it's like we said, it'd be them slaps as well, man. It'd literally be like, oh, oh, oh.
I'm the Green Goblin. And he doesn't even know where he's running. It's like Pac-Man when he turns.
It's not
the avenue.
Like fucking Tron, 90 degrees only.
Yeah, he's just sprinting. He doesn't even know where he's going. It's like proper, not, you know, he just right angle turns through these avenues. He bursts through this door. He's like, oh, this is my old hideout. Oh, there it is. It's a Green Goblin outfit in the bag, right, with all the gadgets in. Guy doesn't even take a second to put it on. Straight on, fucking ripping his clothes off, going, I'm going to get my revenge.
You know, he tugged one off in it, but just before he went out.
No, he got there and had the anger, beat himself off in the most angriest manner.
Blood dripping out of it.
Oh, my God. Fuck off, man. Oh. yeah. But it's a really depressing panel because just he slacks on the floor, you know, and he's just grabbing that mask so angrily and so like erotically.
He's just in that one panel, he's completely lost all humanity.
The guy has lost his fucking crackers, man.
Crackers and cheese.
The cheese has fallen off the cracker. The bread is the butter has fallen down. The bread has fallen butter side down, Brad. Covered in
also,
shit.
Also covered in mold, mate.
The next day. So this is a whole fucking day later. So Norman Osborn,
so
all this time.
That's so anticlimactic, though. That whole crescendo to him putting on the goblin outfit, and he's just like, I will get my revenge! And then it's literally like a SpongeBob, like, the next day.
To literally. Yeah, it had to happen, but like you have to imagine Norman Osborn, when he has an episode, is usually attended to by someone and it breaks him out, whether it's Peter bumping into him or work or something going on or Harry, something snaps him out of it. The guy's had a whole fucking evening to himself.
Oh God.
Just like there's no distraction as well. He's just in his warehouse, just screaming at himself.
A whole evening of him looking in the mirror, just going, would you fight me? I'd fight me so fucking hard.
He's doing the end to Twin Peaks, man. He's just smashing his head off the mirror going, where's Annie? Where's Annie?
Except from instead, it's where's Spider-Man?
Yeah. Where's Peter? Peter! Or sugar and water out of Men in Black.
Oh, mate. It still sugar and water. That does.
Yeah. That he's just completely gone. Comparing to any crazy character in history, the guy has had a whole evening with left to his own devices, and he's just stayed in a warehouse screaming to himself. Anyway, the next day, Peter Parker, fully bricking it, has had to go to university because he can't put his life on hold. Bumps into Gwen Stacy. Gwen says, "Well, Harry, he's probably not going to be here today, Pete, because I've heard that he's staying with his dad until his dad's better. So, yeah, we're probably not going to see him for a while." Peter says, oh yeah, that's probably serious then. But deep down, Peter knows that he's fucked, right?
How is Peter getting this information off Gwen when Peter was literally with Harry last night?
Well, Gwen must have heard something off the grapevine, because Peter went home, remember? Peter didn't see Harry take off or do anything. He just went, fuck this, I'm home.
Yeah, but don't... Who also lives at home with Peter?
But he had to stay wherever... Fuck it, they kept Norman, and that looked like a hospital.
Well, yeah, but this is what I'm saying. Like, how did Gwen... where would Gwen have got the information? Oh, you know what,
Brad,
whatever.
Through the grapevine, man.
The grapevine works fucking weird ways in this.
But at the end of the day, it's a hard day at university because Peter is panicking about his whole life collapsing in on itself. at the end of the day, Gwen and Pete go to see Harry, you know, because they're pals. They want to see if he's coping. But they're met by a really distraught Harry Osborn, who answers the door in a mad panic saying, "Did you see my fucking dad? Have you heard my fucking dad? Have you seen the geezer? Have you seen the bloke? He's gone." And I'm like, okay. And Pete, when he hears that, he knows it's over, right? So he's trying to balance this, like, feeling without giving it away.
Oh, he's fully fucking giving it away, though. That's the face of a man that's literally shitting his pants. Like legit turd okay. in boxers.
The way I can describe Peter's face is, like, imagine if you had £10,000 to your name and you went, right, this bet is definitely going to come in. And you put it, and within a second, it's gone. But the worst thing is, Brad, Harry's there telling him his life story, going, oh, well, Norman, he went crazy. He ran out the building. He's just mad. He's a mad dad. He's a mad bad dad. He's running down the street. He's so strong. And all the while, his friend's spilling the beans. Peter Parker's just staring at the floor. It's like he's been electrocuted, man.
He's not even staring at the floor. He's looking in like like a 1,000-yard stare in both directions. Like, he's so cockeyed right now. He's lost, man. He's completely lost in the sauce.
Oh, he goes to walk Gwen Stacy home, and on his way home, he gets a real big scare, right? Because the goblin glider somehow is heading straight for him, right? He turns around. He's like, that's a green goblin. He jumps up. It's a fucking paper plane that a toddler's thrown at him.
This toddler needs to watch where he's fucking going, man.
That's stay what I'm saying. He's in the
stay
street
in your lane,
as well.
Boy.
The geezer's running across the street for this paper plane, and I'm saying, mow down. I've seen the dash cam footage. The worst thing Peter does, though, is because he's so shook, is he drops all his books and bags and everything. The guy, he leaps up a fucking tree in front of this kid.
Man shook.
Like Spider-Man abilities. It's like, oh, here comes the goblin glider. Psych, it's a fucking paper plane. Guy's up a tree. The kid's looking at him going, oh, only Spider-Man could do that, you know. And Peter just walks off going, nah. And this kid grabs his plane and runs to tell his friend, and he's like, oh, I've just seen fucking Spider-Man. No, he wouldn't swear. He's like, I've just seen Spider-Man.
Hey, and the kid, hey, I've just yeah. seen Spider-Man.
And then his mate goes, you're lying. That's it. And that bit, that line of inquisition is crushed.
Shut down.
Yeah. It's like, you're hungry, like you're delusional. Your mom told me your food's ready, good, fuck off, please. genuinely goes to his mate going, oh, did you see that mean climb a tree fisted in a kit? That sounds like a crackhead, not a child.
Does it sound vaguely Australian as well?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I don't know, but Peter Parker doesn't even give it a shit. The kid behind him is going, no, go home, your dinner's ready. Peter Parker's just like, I just need a grip, get a grip of myself. I know my life is over, but I can fucking write, you know, you just gotta, when it gets bad, ride the wave.
When the going gets tough, the tough gets going.
He goes home and realizes that there's nothing actually he can do, because anything he does will just destroy his best friend's dad. So it's a lose-lose.
I mean, he could do a preemptive strike.
You don't have to kill him. Just like pull his pants down and something, go, ha-ha. Like, I mean, look at that, look at them balls, haha. Like, just humiliate him.
I wouldn't do that either, because he is full goblin mode now.
Oh, you don't know what will happen if you do that.
Exactly. He's like legitimately full goblin. So like, as soon as your hands get on those belt buckles, son, nah. It's game over.
But in his sleep, Peter dreams of the end game. him being dragged in front of his Aunt May, being revealed by the Green Goblin, and his Aunt May passing away. And he just wakes up and says, fuck, you'd fuck this. Fuck the all of, get rid of all of that. No, 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 I'm not losing. I'm not going to lose Harry Osborne. I'm not going to lose Aunt May either. I'm not going to lose Gwen or myself. Don't even want to lose Norman. Fuck it, I'm done. Wakes up, puts his Spider-Man gear on, straight out of bed, and he's off to hunt for the Goblin.
Yes, yes, Peter, finally. There's always these moments in these comics where Peter just has that, I've just lost my last fuck.
It's exactly like if you're in bed, if you're in bed and you think you've left the door open and you go, I'm going to be safe, don't worry, don't worry. And you go, fuck this, I'm going to lock it. And you go downstairs, it's locked anyway, so it's a waste of time. Yeah.
Just angrily mumbling when you get back up into bed.
It's like, oh, you think you can hold the piss in until the morning? Like, going, I can hold it.
You cannot. You never can.
I can hold it in. I can hold it in. Fuck this. I'm going to the toilet.
And it's always the same thing because it's always that one hand on the corner of the sheet and then one swift, like, you know, fuck that this. Flip. That flip. That one flip, man. And he's just like, I'm out.
You're handling that 12 tog sheet like it's a one tog sheet.
I handle my business, mate.
There's a joke for the real duvet people.
The duvet elite.
Yeah, I'm not talking no IKEA. I'm talking Silent Night.
Man, you'll have the shocker just there. Like, oh, look at the quilting in this.
I'd like to point out that Peter's bed on his own at his flat has the hospital tuck. You know, it's tucked in like a hospital bed.
How
I don't know how he's done that because he's
on his own.
Years old. Like, he's 18 years old. The guy's not making his own bed. I'm telling you now. He must have a maid or something come right over. It's Harry Osborne's flat. There must be a maid or cleaner.
Tucked in that bed.
No, but like, I'm not talking about him being tucked in. I'm talking about them sheets are tight, Brad.
Oh, yeah, like the proper...
That's an army tuck.
Well, he could do whatever a Spider-Man can, and apparently that's a fucking decent tuck.
His loafer as well is under his bed, like sideways. Like,
although on the next panel...
It's the same place, Brad.
It is. I was about to say, it doesn't look right, but... No, it does. It's
no PJ's off. Spider-Man gear on. Out the window he goes.
He's just swinging through New York, man. He's just right out there.
Yeah. So he doesn't find the Green Goblin, but he also fails to realize that he's actually being stalked right now by the Green Goblin.
Fucking ironic. So, it's like every Elmer Fudd Bug Bunny episode ever. It's like this. Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting goblins.
And behind him is the goblin, the one he's looking for.
And the goblin's just there munching on a pumpkin bomb, just going, yeah, and I a stinker.
Well, he swings through, right? He's swinging, and he's like, oh, I know I'm wasting my time. Oh, what a positive day, though. Tomorrow's a new day. I'm like, you fucking don't have that much time. You're very cool about this, Peter. You're very calm.
How's his spider sense not fucking going off the chain?
I don't know,
possibly fucking... the most dangerous man is all of about 20 meters away from him.
He's tailing him in true Assassin's Creed. You know, old gen.
Assassin's Creed.
He's tailing you like Assassin's Creed 1, 2, 3, and maybe Black Flag. Or definitely Black Flag. Like, and Brotherhood, everything.
We've said this multiple times when you get to that point and it's just like, who goes there?
Stop. I turn around and look up at the church steeple and I'm like, you would not fucking look there. You just wouldn't.
But it's fine because then you can literally just turn around and go, oh, look at these pigeons. And it's just like, oh, I guess it was nothing.
Imagine Spider-Man swinging past the Empire State Building and the fucking Green Goblin's on top of it and he's triggered by that proximity alert, whatever is in the game mechanic to trigger it. And he turns around and goes, oh, that's a Green Goblin. I wonder what he's doing there. And the Green Goblin turns around and just starts like washing the window or something. And he's like, oh, it can't be the Green Goblin. It cannot be the
That'd definitely be the equivalent.
Well, the Green Goblin doesn't go in for him, right? He just goes,
back to your apartment. Yeah.
I'm just quite enjoying that Spider-Man swinging around. Meanwhile, like, Green Goblin's guard does just there, like...
Yeah, he's like biting. He's like fully erect.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, he's putting a hole through that latex.
Everything is on edge. Everything, like, he is so thrilled by the fact that he's like stalking Spider-Man. So thrilled, he's like, it's not even happening now. I'm saving it.
Just putting this out there. This is like a legitimate serial killer thing, isn't it?
Yeah, like, this is like, I'm saving a treat for myself for later. Do you know when you go to the gym, you're like, oh, I'm doing a favor for future Brad, future James. I'm locking this one in. I'm eating good today, so future James is better. Whatever like that. He's like, oh, future Goblin's in for a fucking treat.
That's exactly how we would sound as well. Like, the thing is, every time that Goblin's face has been drawn within these last couple of panels, it is pure ecstasy.
I fucking hate this con, man. I don't want to drop the C word because so many of our listeners are American and they don't understand that he's just a fucking informal slang here. But he is that level, Brad.
I really dislike
him. I really fucking hate him.
He is a very bad person.
Well, even worse, Brad. He's as Norman Osborn, after all that stalking, he turns around and stumbles into his apartment, banging on the door, going, Harry, let me in, my son. Please.
Harry's just like, where have you been, Dad? Why haven't you phoned me? What's going on? And Osborne's just like, fuck off.
Harry's like, oh, can I get you a glass of water, Dad? Can I get you anything? And he's like, just fucking leave me alone.
Give me something for the pain and let me die.
Yeah. And Harry said, oh, I don't know what to say, Dad. And Norman Osborn thinks to himself, you never did.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's a prick. But he awakes the next day and he makes Harry his unwitting pawn in the master plan. The master plan is Norman Osborn has come back to health. He wants to celebrate that with Harry and Harry's friends, Mary Jane, Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker.
Oh,
he wants a dinner party with the four of them.
Oh, it's so intimate.
This happens in Spider-Man 1.
Oh, it actually does. Holy shit! Interesting fact about the party in Spider-Man 1 is that Norman Osborn's wearing Spider-Man colors and Spider-Man is wearing Goblin colors.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty good, Brad.
I am full of little tidbits like that.
Absolutely. the funny thing is, though, like, Harry's just like, oh, whatever I do, Dad, you want me to ring Peter? Oh, I'll ring Peter for you. As long as it makes my dad the best man, you know, makes you so happy. Just want to make you so happy.
Harry's so fucking happy because he's just like, with how things have been the last couple of days, how nice is it going to be to get all my family and friends together, all four of them, at one dinner table? Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
The second everything turns right for Harry as well, he turns into that lurch. Like, he's like, oh, he gets a phone, rings Peter. He's like, oh, Peter.
if this was a manga, you know that Harry Osborn would be that prick with the fucking glasses that pushes him up his nose and ever something
nose
happens.
Bleed. The nosebleed, yeah. Yeah, literally, this line would give him a nosebleed. He, Dad, he wanted me to ask you if you bring Gwen and I'll bring Mary Jane, you know what I mean? Just the four of us, yeah. That's literally what it turns to. I'm like, you are such a fucking dickhead. But Peter on the other end of the phone knows what's up.
Yeah, it's just such a stark contrast in this panel because it's one of them ones where it's like split across the middle to show both sides of the phone call. And Harry has got the smuggest face in the fucking planet. Me and Walt. Peter's face is just pure fear, just like 110% fear.
Yeah, because he knows that fucking Norman Osborn has invited him straight there to reveal his secret identity and execute him in front of his friends.
So grim.
Yeah, it's bad. Peter slams the phone down and says, yeah, I'll go for it. So he says, sure, Harry, I'll see you later. Bang, the phone's down. I'm gone. He knows what it is, but he's got to act it out, Brad.
That's one thing that I do love about Spider-Man's secret identity, how much of an issue it is for him, is that, you know, you do get these moments where he has to play like cards real close to his chest. Like, one of my favorite bits in the Spider-Man movies was in Homecoming for me. I know that we put this to a poll not too long ago, but it is literally one of my favorite pieces, was from when Agent Toomes has him in the car and he tells Spider-Man to say thank you for saving his life.
Yeah,
it's that kind of, you know, on the edge sort of stuff that I love seeing in these comics, and this is one of those moments.
Peter Parker knows that Norman Osborn will attack him in front of his son and in front of Gwen and Mary Jane. He knows it's gone. He knows it's all over. So he prepares for the fight, really. He chucks the nerves out the window. He decides to go for it. Swings out the window, saying, you know what? Fuck it. If I'm there, Spider-Man's there. Puts his Spider-Man gear in his bag, swings to Gwen Stacy's.
Oh, man. It's got to be so good.
Yeah, he literally just jumps straight out the window. Fucking, yeah. If I'm going, Spider-Man's coming with me. He's going to end. If Norman tries to end him, he's going to end Norman, basically.
Spider-Man's amped. He's just, he's got to, like I said, he's got to that point where he's just like, you know what? I've got to do this because the people who I love are going to be in danger if this happens.
Yeah, he's like furiously swinging across the town as well. Like, gone, straight there.
Yeah, it's the big Spider-Man will be there too. So good.
Now, then he gets to Gwen's and like, oh, I've got to change now. Like, it's all action, and it just goes, and he's got to pick up Gwen and walk to fucking Harry Osborn's house. It's Norman Osborn's flat, the Regal, the manor, mate.
Oh, the penthouse.
The penthouse. So, yeah, he heads to dinner with Gwen. Pete meets Harry, Mary Jane there, and Mary Jane's still got the short hair, so don't know what the fuck's going on there.
Yeah, we'll gloss over that.
But, no, Harry, they're all delighted, right? They're all delighted, like, Gwen and Mary Jane are wearing their best gear. So is Pete and Harry. Everyone is just really enjoying themselves, except Peter Parker.
It's so
he knows what's up.
He's Norman Osborn's walked into the room now, and he's shaking Peter's hand,
and he's gripping that hand.
Mate, you can see the veins in his hand. It's like vibrating.
Well, Pete says, you know, if he was Harry Osborn's strength, if he was a normal person, that would have broke his hand.
Fuck.
But that is proper, like, our character of Norman, that old fucking English, that social club geezer that he's going to grip your hand.
Yeah, just break your hand clean, like, off, just for shits and giggles.
Oh, it's lovely to meet you. Oh, that's your hand breaking into pieces. He's jumping your bones with his hands, man. They're at the table. It's nervous. Pete is just like legs together, arms together. Everyone's enjoying themselves. I mean, the after dinner mint and everything. And they're all questioning Pete, and it's getting really nervous because Harry leans into the joke that Pete's never around. He says, oh, he's a real mystery man, Dad. Sometimes he goes and he's not there for a few days.
And it's all just building up this tension, isn't it?
And Norman leans in. He's like, puts both hands on the table, says, oh, even though you're my son's best friend, I feel there's so much I don't know about you, Peter. Or that, straight in his face. And Pete says, I have to visit my aunt sometimes, you know, I have to go, you know, I'm a caring nephew. And he realizes that Norman is trying to fucking bait him.
I mean, it's a tense moment.
It's horrible, mate.
Super tense. It's like everyone else in the room doesn't matter. It's just focusing on the interaction between the crazy eyes of Norman Osborn.
Look how fucking crazy he is as well. Like, he's hammered as well. You know he's fucking drunk as shit.
He's just like, imagine sitting on a table as Gwen or Mary Jane or something, and there's these like very, very cryptic questions being passed along.
Yeah, forgive me for prying, my boy. We all have secrets which we hide from the world. Don't you agree? And like, he's always a fucking wild.
wild as fuck.
Wild, and he's gripping this little martini glass with his fist. And they say, and he says, "Oh, dinner's over. Let's go to the living room and get to know each other a little bit better." And he grabs Peter around the shoulder, punches him in the stomach, like jokingly, but you know it's a fully forced punch.
Oh, you know it's like a legit punch.
And Harry, Mary Jane, and Gwen laugh it off, and they start dancing to kind of the lounge music. What's in there? You know, it's a time to settle down. And Pete says, "I just need to go call my aunt. You know, I've just said I'm a caring nephew. I need to go call my aunt. Can I use the phone?" And Norman says, "Oh, yeah, no rush. No rush. I'll be waiting."
See, the thing is, I know that in our canon, we've gave Osborne this very old kind of pub man voice where he will just kind of just take it as it goes. But the way I'm actually reading this in my head is like, imagine him starting off the evening with you know, the Osborne's voice, like, you know, and in after each round of questioning, it just gets more and more goblin-esque. You can just imagine how, like, horrible his voice would probably be going as well.
But that is that pub man voice, because they're dark, man. When they start drinking, they'll come out with some shit like they've bricked someone to death.
Yeah, but that's because we know those kind of blokes. But what I'm saying is, you know how Goblin's like high-pitched? Like, yeah. Whenever I've seen him, like
you just
movies.
See the voice breaking out.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like, just imagine that with
every third word would be like just a scream almost.
Yes, exactly. Oh. Just cracking through it.
That'd be awful, because you can't even imitate it.
Because he's just like fully unraveling.
Yeah, the guy is fucking kablooey. So Pete goes into the lounge, shall we say, thinks quickly and first, you know, "I'm going to make a big fucking webbing ball, chuck it in the fireplace. When it sets on fire, I'm gone out the window." Basically.
let's hope that's non-toxic fumes there then, mate.
So they all go and they're dancing and having a bit of fun, and Pete's nervous because he thinks, if this fucking thing doesn't set on fire before Norman turns on me, I'm done and everyone in here is done. But luckily it sets on fire. And as Pete's dancing, he's got one eye in the corner going, "Oh yeah, look, there's a fire, everyone. Look at that, down there."
It's all or nothing at this moment, isn't it? Like, Pete's just gone, "Right, I've got to make the first move. I've got to get these good people out of here and just have it off with him. This is happening now. It's happening."
Because what Pete sees as well in this panel is Norman Osborn is doing something with his hands, but you can't see what it is. But it looks like he's got like a garrot, or I don't know, because you can only see the corner of it under his like index finger. But he's got something in his hands, like serious. And he's going to turn on Pete with it. And that is made even more sinister by when Gwen sees the fire and she starts screaming, everyone runs out going, "Oh, fuck." Harry says, "I'll take Mary Jane and Gwen, and we will go. You just get my dad out of here, find my dad and get him out of here." His dad's in the fucking back room. Background, and he can't even see him.
No, it's like pitch black.
Yeah, he was ready to do Peter in there and then. If that thing didn't set on fire, like, who knows what would have happened. But it sets on fire. Pete says, "I'll go get your dad. You get out of here with the girls. I'll get your dad. Fuck it." Pete sprints through the door, and Norman straight after him.
Fuck.
Sprinting
Waste
straight after
no
him.
Time.
Man, Norman flips the chairs. He's like, "Oh, fucking get you. You're not escaping me." The guy's just chucking the furniture. Pete says he's chucking the furniture out of the way, like it's made of card.
Fuck.
So the second Norman sees Peter go, he sprints after, you know, he's gone straight after him, man.
It's cards on the table now. There is no hiding. Both parties are in full hunted mode.
So Pete manages to slip out the window and Norman doesn't catch him. Norman just sprints upstairs, but Pete gets out the window, sprints to the rooftop to kind of get changed into his Spider-Man gear. The fire brigade arrive, but at the same time, Norman is in his closet getting into the goblin gear and he's out the fucking window on the glider. He's not even going for Pete. He's gone.
Shit, this is 0 to 100, man.
So if Pete's ready as Spider-Man, the fire brigade's there, Mary Jane, Harry are safe, Gwen's safe, and Pete's a Spider-Man on this rooftop going, okay. Okay, where is he? And then he gets a hunch. Oh, there's no sign. Oh, he's gone for Aunt May. He's gone for Aunt May. Yeah. Oh, fucking hell, he's gone for Aunt May. He can't believe it. He cannot believe he didn't even think of it.
Oh, God. Like, just instant? God, that's grim as fuck.
Yeah, the guy jumped out the window. So the Green Goblins chased Peter Parker. Peter Parker's jumped out the window, ran upstairs. From the outside of the building onto the roof, as Spider-Man waited for him there, fists up. But Norman just turned around, got his goblin gear off, and went the other fucking direction. That's awful. Straight to Aunt May's.
This is what I'm saying about Goblin. Goblin legitimately has no lines. Christ.
He does that whole, I'll get my glider and I'll kill Spider-Man. That's all he says, and you're thinking, oh, he's going to turn around and get him. But Spider-Man's there waiting and waiting and waiting, and he's thinking, oh, shit, he's gone for Aunt May. And he just trusts a hunch. He goes, I've got to go to Aunt May's just in case. He could come. I've got to go to Aunt May's. I'm going to go to Aunt May's. So he gets his, he starts swinging, says, to the power of a Spider-Man, I'm fucking off. And he's gone across the town to get to Aunt May's. And the hunch is right, because just as he gets to Aunt May's, exhausted from the swinging, Goblin is getting ready to swoop straight through the front door. Imagine that, man. That'd be horrifying. Like, that's chills, mate.
The thing is that Goblin could have just took the fight to Spider-Man. He could have just went to the top of the building, but no, he doesn't just want to kill Spider-Man. He wants to tear his heart out first.
Ugh.
Oh, mate, this comic is so fucking horrible.
It's awful, isn't it? It's so last gasp. Everything is just like, just pure instinct.
Oh, mate, it went 0 to 100. Now it's come to this as well.
So he sees us circling in for the house, and Goblin doesn't even notice. So Spider-Man jumps straight in.
This whole time it's been him escalating it that little bit more, little bit more, every time getting his rocks off just that little bit more.
And then he dives in, trying to catch the Goblin off guard, but Spider-Man himself is caught off guard. The Goblin swings in. Spider-Man misses, and Goblin turns around and reveals his new weapon. And his new weapon is really fucking grim. Because the new weapon is a massive kind of 4-foot-long corkscrew drill on the front of the Goblin glider.
I've seen this before.
It's not good.
Goblin glider got upgraded to a goblin gliding unicorn.
It can open any bottle of wine you want.
it's that bottle of wine that the Facebook mom shares saying, oh, the doctor said I can only have one glass.
Yeah, 6 hours later, the bottle's gone and there's a divorce on the way.
I was having a drink.
Never safe to take a drink when this podcast on. Never.
But that's swinging through Spider-Man rule number one.
Stay hydrated, Brad.
Stay hydrated. Because you never know when the Goblin's going to come and take some fucking blood.
Peter manages to move out the way of the Goblin glider, but it does go through an entire
just
wall.
Just about, man.
Yeah.
Just about.
It takes a fucking
panel.
Oh, it takes like half the building wall out. And he turns around like he can go straight through.
You can tell just how close it was because Spider-Man is contorted. He's really in a shape. Like, that's the only way I can describe it, just to dodge the glider.
Yeah, he's like off kilter. And the Green Goblin loves it, man. He's like, you can't fucking get me. Like, you are fucking off kilter. And you know what? I'm not even going to go for you now. I'm going to go for your Aunt May. I'm not going to like, touch her. I'm just going to fucking tell her that Peter, her nephew, Spider-Man.
It's just two massive screaming noes.
He's just screaming, no, 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 no. And he's down and he doesn't even know how. He knows he's got to stop him no matter what, but he doesn't even know how to. He's hit by Goblin's main weapon, which is then fucking laser blasts from their fingers, man. Like, goddamn Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, I know them fellas.
And hits him, knocks him to his knees, and the goblin sweeps him for another blow, going, you know what, actually, I will kill you. It'd be very funny to unmask you know your dead body.
It's goblin. Goblin's been... He's been allowing himself and trying to draw it out as much as possible. But it's literally, it's got to the point now where he's got to blow his load. He's like, I've got to do it.
Yeah. And he goes in, but Spider-Man's able to act this time. And as Green Goblin comes in, Spider-Man just turns around and just punches him square off the glider.
Big punch, man. It's a close one. It's a close one. Spider-Man's on the floor.
And now it's a role reversal because Green Goblin's on the floor and Spider-Man says, I could punch his head square off right now, but I can't.
It's so dark.
Like, I could just put everything into this and end it.
See, one of the thought bubbles that's going through Peter's mind at the moment is, I can't kill him in cold blood. Nah, mate, this is warm blood.
This isn't fucking cold blood. This is hot blood.
Hot, steaming, in fact.
You need to kill
him. Like JJ's blood. That kind of blood.
Well, this is definitely self-defense. Punch his head square off his shoulders.
Just enough to... Like, you don't even have to kill him. Like, just enough to, like, put him in a wheelchair for life.
So, Spider-Man says, right, I'm letting him go.
Rip a leg off, rip an arm off, do something.
You can just break his hand, break every finger in his hands.
No, because they heal.
Oh, just stamp on his cock or something.
No, he would fucking love that at this moment.
Imagine that, a scream of delight. Oh, fuck that. Oh, it's like a squeaky toy.
Worse than actually killing him.
Oh. But Peter says, Spider-Man says, fuck it. I'm not going to lay a finger on him because the best thing to do right now is run away, lure him away from Aunt May's because that gives me a buffer.
That's a good point.
And Green Goblin is that pissed off. He's just going to follow me.
But it's still stupid because if you put him down right now, like right now, you don't have to have a buffer because life will be your buffer. Because he's not.
Living is the best buffer.
Exactly.
Him dying and you living is the best buffer possible.
It's called the afterlife being a buffer, mate.
And the Green Goblin follows on his glider up a building. Spider-Man hides and Spider-Man thinks like he's got the upper hand, but the Goblin gets back on his glider and he's like just searching for his bag of goodies now, thinking, what can I just chuck him to fuck him up? Finds this new bomb, right? The fucking psychedelic hallucination gas bomb, right?
That just rolls off the tongue, don't it?
Just like looks at it and goes, oh, yeah, this one's harmless, but I'll fuck him up with it. Just chucks him at it. And all this gas goes around Spider-Man. Spider-Man just starts having these nightmare visions.
That's fucking sick. That's like so fucking good. It's like some Swamp Thing ting.
Yeah, like Spider-Man, he's on this rooftop. The gas emerges around him. And all these, like, three different types, like, even four different types of goblin emerge from this gas. Like, there's like a satanic one. There's a Green Goblin with his arms. There's like this fucking one-eyed one.
He threw the pumpkin bomb and then it just went, boys and girls of every age, wouldn't you like to see something strange?
This is like,
unleashed Halloween Town.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Halloween. That is literally what happened. But all this time, it's not fun and games. Spider-Man is screaming his tits off.
Like, Spider-Man's mentality is really getting put through its paces in his last two issues.
So what's happening on the outside is Spider-Man is swinging, like punching, shadow boxing basically, like really slowly and like lethargically. What's happening in his head is that he's been grabbed by so many different demons that are screaming at him and laughing at him. And he doesn't know what's going on. And then the demons go away and instead all his fears, like Gwen Stacy, J. Jonah Jameson, Aunt May, Harry Osborn, they all come to laugh at him. And he sees all the villains like Doc Ock and the Rhino and Kingpin and Vulture and Kraven and the Green Goblin coming at him and he's tiny and they're massive. And he's thinking, okay, no, this is all bullshit. Like, this is just in my
he's
head.
He's been through this before.
This is bullshit. You know, thankfully last issue I had a Mysterio, so I'm fucking used to this shit. I know it's a lie. And he just stands tall and goes, aha, this is a hallucination. Literally, like, he stands, puts his arms on his fucking, like, stretches his arms out, pushes his chest and goes, yeah, this is a hallucination. I'm fine. I'm ready to batter him.
Just need to listen to his spidey sense, man.
So all this has happened in his head. It seemed like hours in his head, but it's really like 5 seconds in real life.
Like, so Goblin's still on the swoop down since
he threw the
pumpkin bomb.
Exactly. And as Spider-Man's stunned, the Green Goblin comes in, goes, yeah, I've got you now. I'm stopping toying. As the Goblin flies in, Spider-Man spins round, gets a drop on him, sprays the web and yanks him straight out of the air. And it's like a car crash, man. The Goblin hits the ground so hard. And then...
Yeah, it's literally all in one foul swoop, isn't it?
Yeah. And Spider-Man isn't playing now because he walks in. The Goblin has literally just been in a car crash, basically.
The thing is, as well, is that, like, you've probably done the worst thing you possibly could have done. You've shown all the cards that Spider-Man has to play. You've just shown Spider-Man why it's so fucking important for him to win the fight. Why it's so important that Goblin can't get to Aunt May. Why it's so important that he needs to be there for the sitter. And you've literally, essentially gave him a shot of steroids and monster energy drink. Because now he's on fucking 11.
Yeah, yanks him out of the air, straight off a glider. It's like exactly like I said, a car crash. Green Goblin hits the dirt hard, rolls across the building, groggily gets up. Spider-Man's already marching him, fist clenched, and just starts fucking beating the shit out of him. Just left, wailing right, on him. Goblin doesn't even get a good hit on him. He tries to gouge his eyes, like, but it's nothing. Doesn't even fucking grab him.
Spider-Man was fucking smart before this happened as well, because the first thing he did when Goblin went down was grabbed his pouch, just snapped it clean off of him. So he's just a man in a rubber suit now.
Yeah, so this pouch comes in useful, right? Because Spider-Man, he's just been wailing on him, smacking him about a bit. He's got the pouch, ripped it straight off him, actually. Literally, like, mugged him.
Straight off of him. Let me hold your pouch.
What he does, right, he grabs this thing, gets a hallucinant bomb, puts it under fucking Norman Osborn's nose, and goes, how do you like a bit of this, then?
Just have a whiff, son.
And Norman Osborn, he's already lost his shit, mate. The guy is going mental here.
It's so bad because he's not only has he beat the fucking daylights out of him, he's beating fucking bloody, but he's ripped the fucking mask off of him as well. So he's looking Osborn in the whites of his eyes when he goes, right, hallucinogenital now, mate. Essentially.
Yeah, literally, you'll pull my finger. He puts the LSD bomb under his nose. Norman Osborn starts screaming. Peter picks up the fucking Green Goblin mask, puts it in his face and goes, look at it. Look at this shit. Look at what you've done.
That's so grim.
Then he grabs Norman Osborn's face and goes, look at me. I'm fucking Spider-Man. This is the two worst things in the world. Spider-Man and the Green Goblin. And he keeps repeating it, Spider-Man and the Green Goblin. The faces and names that haunt you. You're fucked.
Fucking
and Norman Osborn has a breakdown. It's clear he's shivering. Like, his clothes are ripped. He's shivering and he's just begging for help.
Just holding on to Spider-Man's leg.
Yeah, he's gone. And, you know, if you scroll down, you just see him in an absolute state, mate.
So bad. His suit's been all torn up. He's just cowering in the corner.
Yeah, he's muscly as fuck, but he's not doing anything. And Peter's, like, Spider-Man's really, really nonchalant. He's like, yeah, he's fucking done. I've had him. Absolutely had him. He knows deep down this isn't the end, but he knows he's given himself a buffer, that buffer.
Oh, it's not good enough, though, mate. He's going to come back to bite him.
Well, he realises that he's got to take Norman to the hospital. So he takes him to the hospital, gets dressed into his civvies. Before he does that, actually, he does take his mask off and Norman don't recognise him, so he knows it's good. But Norman's fucked.
Yeah, but Norman doesn't know hide from hair at the moment. He's literally cowering, he's shaking, he's a shell of himself.
Well, Peter takes him to the hospital, gets him into the room, gets him checked back in, and just says, you know, he's just had a really traumatic event. He's the party at his house, it all set on fire. He's had an event. Get him in the bed. I'll call his son. So Peter calls Harry, and Harry arrives in a panic, and he starts like questioning Peter, going, where the fuck have you been? And where's my dad? And Peter's like, oh, he was just really upset. The excitement got a bit too much to him. And Harry's like shaking him, going, just fucking tell a guy, right? Just fucking tell a guy.
Just tell a guy.
That's what he says. Just like, next time, man, just tell a fella.
No, it's fine. We've been duking it out, mate. I'll tell a fella all right.
But yeah, yes, that's pretty much it, man. Harry has to attend to his dad. His dad's knocked out. Pete tries to kind of settle down. He takes Gwen Stacy and Mary Jane, who've been waiting around, to the coffee bean, and they're enjoying it. And he's trying to live his life again, but he knows that this is coming back.
It's definitely not put to bed. He's 100% not. There is going to be a moment in the near future where Spider-Man is going to be thinking, I could have ended it. I could have ended it all.
Yeah, you get the feeling that he's going to regret this.
You can
tell.
You can kind of get that, like, Peter's like, he's very much the sense of like, look, I've run out of fucks, it's done now, I'll cross the bridge when I get to it. And he's constantly doing that, he's doing that until the day he dies. But he says that, and then in the very next thought, like the thought, pretty much the same thought, but just afterwards, he says, the goblin will come back though. Like, how are you supposed to get on with life knowing, you know, this isn't the end?
Yeah, he's thinking, I've just got to keep that stiff upper lip. I've just got to keep it going, keep my life going. But this is bad. The last panel is him walking the girls to the coffee bean, and they're going on about the good times. Let's keep the party going. And he's like, yeah, let's keep the good time going. Yeah. But he knows he's taken the high road, but it's going to end badly. And that, Brad, is the end of the second Spectacular Spider-Man magazine. And I have to say, probably my favourite issue.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
That is 61 pages, so that's three times the length of a normal issue. Hour and 15 minutes recording so far, which I think is pretty speedy.
Yeah, we actually did quite well. Like, there was a bit of waffle, but not a lot, not too much waffle.
I thought this was going to be pushing 2 hours, so I'm glad we didn't do a two-parter, to be honest. I'm glad we got it out.
We probably could have fitted in a little waffle.
A little waffle, yeah. We could have waffled for 15 minutes, but Brad, we did it. What did you think, mate?
Mate, it's fantastic, man. The Goblin is a staple character for me. I genuinely love anything that involves the Goblin. Like I said, one of my favourite issues that we've covered thus far was when the Goblin revealed Peter's identity. And now this is as good.
This is the perfect sequel.
Yeah. That's exactly how I would.
You know,
I mean, the tension that was built between Peter and Osborn at that table, fantastic.
Brad, I mean, this has been a pleasure, man. Like, this took me ages to write up the 61 pages, man. It's so long and there's so much going on in every panel.
No, mate, you did a fantastic job.
But, man, they nailed it. This one is so good.
Yeah, so well.
And it is, oh, you got to get your hands on it, man. It is dripping in goodness. It's not even cheesy. There's no, like, 60s cheesiness that kind of drops into it. It's like...
Yeah. Just until Mary Jane appears.
It's like scary and it's on edge. And
now there's so many times where you can literally just sit back and appreciate the artwork in the panel, like the true horror that's been encapsulated in people's faces. It's fantastic. Absolutely, like, outdone themselves.
Yeah, I have to say, on a final note, probably would have done Norman Osborn some good to seek some fucking help at some point.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, these are normal things that happen. It's like fucking schizophrenia or just feeling really bad. Like, speak to your son.
You know, they do say a problem shared is a problem halved.
There you go. So, I mean, these are probably normal things that people feel in the real world with, like, all sorts of awful shit going on. So I guess if you're feeling like that, you speak to someone like Norman Osborn should have done. Really?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Absolutely. Don't keep that shit inside. Otherwise, you will end up in a warehouse screaming at yourself in a mirror, putting latex masks on.
Sometimes you could end up doing that without PTSD. That can be fun, but
if you are screaming at yourself, there might be a problem. Just a small one. So catch yourself in that moment and fucking speak to someone. Definitely not what Norman definitely should have done.
Hells yeah.
But yeah, Brad, I'm going to call it there. It's been a pleasure. Swinging through Spider-Man. I think we return to the normal canon soon, but that was a brilliant addition. Find us at Spidey Podcast, and we'll see you again very soon. Goodbye, and thank you so much for listening.
Peace out.